I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. It has been a full summer. I don't know about you, but our family, we've been vacating. We've worked together. I've traveled to speak at several camps this summer. And God is just working in our church in a phenomenal way. This series on worship, hasn't it been great just learning about how to worship God and express our praise to God? Today, I want to talk about attitude, because the attitude that we have affects our altitude in worship. That's the title of my message. Attitude affects altitude. And I don't know about you, but my attitude sometimes is a mystery to me. Sometimes I wake up and I'm very positive, and I have a very faith-filled outlook on my day, and I'm encouraging to my family, and I just have energy to approach the day. And then there are other days I wake up and it seems like my motor never gets running. Do I hear anybody can identify with that? Well, see, our attitude is kind of like that. Sometimes our attitude is positive. Sometimes our attitude is just kind of neutral. Sometimes our attitude is apathetic. Sometimes our attitude is just downright negative. But our attitude in worship will determine our altitude. In other words, the way we approach God and how we come to Him will in a large part determine whether we really meet Him and experience Him and are transformed by Him. I want to unpack that from Psalm 100, but before I do that, let me read a familiar quote I've shared with you before about attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a school, a family, a church, a person. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is plan on the one thing we have, and that's our superior attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. A superior attitude will produce superior results. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving and worship, and it reflects an attitude. It reflects an attitude. Let me read it to you. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that You would speak to me and to each one of us here, everyone listening. Holy Spirit, grab hold of our hearts and our minds and our wills. Transform us to have attitudes to seek You, to praise You, to give thanks. God, may we be obedient by faith, and may our faith result in You transforming our feelings. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength and we would worship You with joyful hearts. God, however we have been feeling or whatever circumstances we've been facing, draw our attention to who You are, and may we worship You with an attitude that brings You praise and glory. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my first observation. Our attitude in worship is a response to true thoughts about God. See, every one of us, your pastor included, has come here this morning was thinking some things. And we can think our way into anxiety, or we can think our way into joy. We've been thinking some things about God. We've been thinking some things about our lives. We've been thinking things about our family. We've been thinking things about our circumstances. We've been thinking things about our culture. We've been thinking things about the economy. We've been thinking things, and what we've been thinking has been affecting our attitude. And we've brought that attitude here this morning into our worship. And in Psalm 100, the psalmist realigns our thinking about God. And one of the things that I have been saying for the last couple of years since I started a little devotional radio ministry called Big Thoughts About God is this: big thoughts about God inspire big faith, and big faith motivates big action. Psalm 100 has some big thoughts about God. It declares, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. There are false gods, there are idols, but the Lord is God. And if you have a certain translation of the Bible, you will see that Lord there is all in capital letters. And in many of the translations of the Bible, when Lord is in capital letters, it's a translation of the Hebrew term for God, Yahweh. The personal covenant name of God, the name that God revealed himself to Moses when he said, I am that I am. Yahweh is God. And think about it. We have a personal relationship with God, the God who created the universe, the God who spoke and everything came into being, the God who became human in the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The Lord is God. And he says in this psalm, he made us and not we ourselves. Just the fact that God made us, he made us in his image. God created us, and he said it's good, and he created us in the image of God. And human beings, above everything else in the created order, have this special significance to reflect God's image. And he created us in the unity of our being, body, soul, and spirit. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, it's one thing to say God's my God. It's another thing to say, JP's my guy. Crossline's my church. You as believers, you're my people. You're the sheep of my pasture. See, God is our shepherd and he identifies with us. He calls us his own. He says we belong to him. This psalm says that the Lord is good. I think one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that he tries to convince us that God isn't good. We look at circumstances in our lives and the enemy lies to us and says, that shows you that God isn't good. We look at what's going on in our culture and the enemy lies to us and we believe it, it's not good. We look at the totality of what God has done in history and we think it's not good. Well, that's a lie because God is good. The Lord is good. And the psalmist says, the Lord is good and he does good things. Here in Psalm 100, the psalmist is renewing his understanding of God by claiming and stating these truths about God. When we have big thoughts about God, it inspires big faith and it leads to big action. Our attitude in worship is a response to what we believe about God. And if we're believing lies about God, then we are going to be robbed of the joy of worshiping the Lord with the kind of attitude that brings him glory and that gives us joy. The psalmist says, his loving kindness is everlasting. This word for loving kindness here is this, it's a Hebrew word, chesed, and I guess the closest parallel to the New Testament would be agape. It's his mercy, his great faithful love, his love that's expressed in choosing his people and bestowing his blessing on his people. It's this royal love of God. And the psalmist says, it's everlasting. It never ends. It's eternal. And his faithfulness to all generations. God is faithful. The promises that are written in this book are just as true today as when they were written. The things revealed about God in this book are just as real today as when they were first revealed. God is faithful in who he is. He's faithful in his character. He's faithful in his attributes. He's faithful in his promises. He's faithful in his covenant. God is faithful. And the psalmist is declaring these things, you see, so that we might have this view of God that affects our attitude in the way that we worship him. Big thoughts about God inspire big faith, and big faith motivates big action. A.W. Tozer says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts about God. We tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. And that's why the essence of idolatry is entertaining thoughts about God that are untrue and unworthy of him. Did you catch that? The essence of idolatry is not bowing down before some statue. It's thinking things about God that aren't true of him. Because when we think things about God that aren't true of him, we're worshiping a God who is not the real God of the Bible. Well, what do? Well, we need to think true thoughts about God. How do we think true thoughts about God? We read what God has revealed about himself. We read what God says about himself. So here in Psalm 100, as it's a psalm that's addressing our attitude, it renews our minds with things that are true about God. One of the greatest spiritual exercises that we can do is speak back to God the things that are true about him. And sometimes I do that, and quite honestly, I don't feel much emotion about it. This morning is amazing. I just had a hard night sleeping. The alarm went off, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I turned it off at dark 100, and I got up, and I went down. I made some coffee, and I walked down to my computer, and as I always do on Sunday morning when I preach, I get up real early, and I just review my message, and I pray over it. So I got my coffee, and I got the computer screen on, and I literally put my head on the desk and just closed my eyes. And then it was like, okay, I got to get my attitude in line with what the word says. And so it's like I read the scriptures on the screen, and I just start saying it, okay. And I just start asking for the Holy Spirit to give me a heart of praise. And I didn't feel it. I was faithing it. Sometimes we have to faith it in order to feel it. So if you came in here this morning just because of whatever, or maybe something's been tragic or difficult or hard, you can have an attitude of worship that glorifies God when you review and renew your mind with what's true about him. With what's true about him. Our attitude in worship is a response to true thoughts about God. And this psalm says, the Lord is God. He made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. That's true because God says it's true. So here's a second observation about our attitude. Our attitude in worship is influenced by the word and the spirit. We've seen that a little bit already just by looking at this psalm about what the word says. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about, and when I was talking about worship, about Pastor Forge from Haiti. And when I first met Pastor Forge and I was in Haiti, and I was, I had been so impressed with the way Haitians worship with great expression and praise. And there's much emphasis in the Haitian church on the work of the Holy Spirit. But I said to Pastor Forge, if you have the spirit without the word, you can blow up. But if you have the word without the spirit, you just dry up. But when you have the word and the spirit, that's when there's a dynamic expression of worship and the release of the power of Jesus in and through our lives. Well, there is a parallel between the word and the spirit. Listen to this. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ, the word, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. How the word influences the way we sing, the way we worship, what comes out of our mouths, praise and thanksgiving. Well, this is what Ephesians 5:18-20 says. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. When you're filled with the Spirit, you speak with psalms and hymns. You give thanks. You have joyful worship out of your heart. It sounds like the same thing because it is the same thing. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work together to transform our attitudes and our actions. I don't think any of you just heard what I just said. Because I just got this in response. So I'm going to say it again, and I want you to respond like you really believe it. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work together to transform our attitude and our actions. All right. Now I think you got it. You see, when we make it a habit to let the Word of God get into our life and renew our minds so that we think big thoughts about God, truthful biblical thoughts about God, and we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, the Holy Spirit activates that word And even when we don't feel like it, we choose to give thanks, we choose to praise God, and we faith our way into feeling. But see, like you, because I'm wired like this, I get this. You know, on the they do all those temperament tests. There's the Myers-Briggs, and then there's the Taylor-Johnson temperament analysis test and all that. On the Myers-Briggs test, there's one of the categories is feeling versus thinking. Feeling versus thinking. Now, this is what's interesting to me, because I meet a lot of people who don't know me other than my preaching. And they assume that I must primarily be a thinker. On the Myers-Briggs, I'm like 90% feeling. Really. So this is what many of us have learned. We've learned our whole life to operate based on our feelings. Well, that can get you in trouble. And that can actually stop you from experiencing the joy of the Lord. Because if you feel depressed, sometimes you feel like that is self-justifying to be depressed, because I feel depressed. I feel anxious, that's self-justifying to be anxious, because I feel anxious. I feel angry, that's self-justifying to feel angry, because I feel angry. Unless we allow our feelings to justify our feelings. It's a circular type of thing, but we never get out of it. Well, how do you get out of it? You choose to do the right thing even when you don't feel like it. That goes counter to the way many of us are wired and the way many of us have been trained and the way many of us live our Christian life. But this passage is telling us, and Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:18 are telling us that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, when we let God's Word get into our hearts and we ask the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives and we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and we take a step of obedience and a step to praise even when we don't feel like it, to give thanks even when we don't feel like it, to lift up our hands in worship even when we don't feel like it, to sing songs of praise even when we don't feel like it, something supernatural happens and we start feeling like it. Well, what is that? It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God transforming our attitude. The Spirit of God and the Word of God transforming our attitude. See, when we're letting the Word of God richly dwell within us and we're being filled with the Spirit activates that Word and He renews our mind and He transforms our emotions. We are to be people who choose to get God's Word in our lives and choose to allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Which leads me to my third and final observation. Our attitude in worship is a choice. Our attitude in worship is a choice. As we began worship even here this morning, all of a sudden the scripture came into my mind. It wasn't in there all week. When I was working on this sermon, it wasn't even there in there at Odar Carnage this morning when I was praying and thinking about it, but it just popped into my mind. And it's Psalm 43:5. Let me read it to you. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. He's the help of my countenance and my God. See, the psalmist is saying, I don't feel like worshiping. I feel disturbed. I feel anxious. I feel preoccupied. I feel upset. And so what he does, he speaks to his soul and says, soul, why are you in despair? And why are you disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. He's the help of my countenance. Our attitude, gosh, this is so hard because it runs, like I said, it runs counter to my personality. But it's a choice. I can't just say I got a bad attitude. I got a bad attitude today. So basically, I get a pass for however I act or feel or talk or react with people. No, change your attitude. I hope you get that I understand how hard that is. And I understand it goes counter to the way many of us are wired, But that's what God says, because we rob God of honor and worship and praise by holding on to a bad attitude. We rob ourselves of the joy of the Lord by holding on to a bad attitude. And we rip everybody else off who are in relationship with us because our bad attitude is contagious. But so is a good attitude. Our attitude in worship is a choice. So we are to choose to obey, even when we don't feel like it. We can faith our way into feeling. You see, in Psalm 100, these are all commands. So they're choices. It's not, if you feel like this, do this. No, it's do this, and guess what? You'll start feeling like it. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord. This is a command that's repeated several times in the Psalms. It's the Hebrew word ruha, and you almost have to say it like it comes off, like ruha. It's a shout. This term sometimes is a shout of joy, a shout of triumph. It's used when the soldiers of Israel defeated their enemies and they shouted. It's used when the worshipers come together with God and they shout. And it's not even like you have to say anything particular. You might say, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or you might just go, ha! Sometimes I'm up here and Sergio is leading worship and there's like this momentum of energy and I just go, woo! That's shouting for joy to the Lord. It's a command. It's a command. It's a choice. It's a choice. Psalm 27 says, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 98, 6, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. In our worship, we need to be shouting. Shouting, because it glorifies God. It's a command. It's a choice. It reflects an attitude. Here's the second thing we're commanded to do. Worship with gladness. Worship with gladness. The idea of gladness is joy or mirth or rejoicing. It's used, this term, by the way, is used a lot in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, where they celebrated because the temple had been destroyed. The wall had been torn down. Ezra and Nehemiah are sent by God. They rebuild the temple. They rebuild the wall. People start worshiping God again after they've been in exile. And over again, it talks about how the joy of the Lord is their strength. And they rejoiced in their worship. And they gladly shouted before the Lord. It's a command to worship with gladness. 2 Chronicles 29 says, King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and then they bowed down in worship. Psalm 43:4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I will praise you, O my God. This is a command, so it's a choice. It's a choice. Here's a third command in this psalm. Come with joyful singing. Joyful singing. It's the word ranana, and it means to have a ringing cry or a joyful, triumphant sound. Psalm 107 says, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. This is the attitude of recognizing that God is the Lord and we're the sheep of his pasture and his promises are true and salvation is ours and we're going to heaven and our sins are forgiven and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and God is a good God and we shout and sing with joy. He commands here in this passage, know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. Now, why would he command that? Because the evil one lies to us, the world and the flesh and the devil wear us down, and we just start thinking these thoughts as if we're just caught up in the flow of history and the economy and what's going on in the political situation or what's happening in our personal circumstances, and we forget that the Lord is God. So we've got to know that, because when we know that the Lord is God, then we can have a heart of worshiping the Lord who is God, and we can have a body that expresses that the Lord is God. That's worship, body, soul, and spirit expressing itself back to what's true about God. Know that the Lord is God. We're commanded to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So as we think tangibly about coming into the house of God, now we understand that the church is not a building. God isn't located in temples anymore. God is anywhere and everywhere because he's omnipresent, and we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We can worship God anywhere and everywhere, but we come together as God's people, and this is a symbol of basically saying when we come together as God's people, we're to come together with a certain disposition, a certain attitude, a certain expression. We are to choose to come to God with praise and thanksgiving. And if we don't feel it, we faith it until we feel it. God doesn't give us a pass to come to church and just sit like this. And if someone asks us about it, well, I just have a bad attitude today. Oh, okay. It's like, this is you and this is it. You get over it. We got to speak to our souls. And there's no condemnation. There's no shame. It's just the rhythm. I don't know. It's biochemical. It's circumstantial. It's who knows. But sometimes we have high moods and sometimes we have low moods and sometimes we're feeling great and sometimes we're not. The point is we choose to speak to our soul. Soul. Why are you so disturbed? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so apathetic? Why are you so blasé? Why are you so negative? Praise God. Think about who God is. Engage. Even if you don't feel like it, soul, engage. Even if you feel like just kind of lift your hands, maybe just this high, not that high, and just kind of go, okay. And let the words come out of your mouth. Praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 42 says, these things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Psalm 50, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 50, 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. Maybe the thanksgiving you offer is a real sacrifice because you don't feel it. But you say, it's not about how I feel. It's about what honors God. It's about what praises God. It's about what glorifies God. So God, I thank you. So just start with the things you know you can be thankful for. Thank you, Jesus, you saved me. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. Thank you that heaven is mine. And then maybe expand out to like the by faith stuff that maybe you got. Thank you for my family, by faith. Thank you. Thank you for my church, by faith. Thank you for my financial situation, by faith. Thank you for this hard situation I'm facing right now, by faith. God, thank you. And start exploring all the things that you're thankful for. And God is honored by a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it ends up blessing us. Because giving thanks is a command. Being thankful is an attitude and a feeling. If we will obey the command to give thanks, the Holy Spirit will produce the attitude and feeling of being thankful. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and come into his presence with praise. Oh my gosh, you cannot read the book of Psalms and not be impressed with praise. This is the final psalm, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's an attitude that gets expressed in an action. It's a choice. It's a choice. Give thanks. It says, give thanks. The Hebrew word is yada. Kind of in its earliest meaning, it means to cast out, to have the hand cast out. But then it kind of became what you said as you cast your hand out, and then it evolved into you're stretching out your praise and your thanks to God. You're giving your thanks to God. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. So if you could look back on your life and look at your life right now, and there's any good thing that you have, that's a gift from God. And we can give thanks for it. We can give thanks for it. And then the last command of Psalm 100, which is a choice. It's our attitude. We choose to worship God, is to bless his name. The word bless means to actually kneel down and bless. It's barach, and it means to adore with bended knee. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 62, sing to the Lord and bless his name. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Psalm 115, but as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. It is a choice to have an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. And our attitude determines our altitude in worship. The attitude that we embrace will determine our altitude in worship. And so we come to God recognizing how good he is, how great he is, his promises, his faithfulness, his attributes. We express that back in words of praise and thanksgiving. We bless his name and we remember all of his blessings and all of his benefits. And we recognize who he is and what he's done for us. And we express it back to him with shouts and with singing and with words of praise and with hands lifted up and with a body that's engaged, with dancing, with bowing down our knees, with lifting out our hands to God. All of this, body, soul, and spirit, is the expression of an attitude. So when you summarize all this, this is the takeaway. This is the application. Choose a positive, God-centered, faith-filled attitude in worship. Choose it. Say to your soul, soul, why are you disturbed? Why are you anxious? Why are you angry? Why are you apathetic? Hope in God. Trust in God. Choose to praise and give thanks. Even if you don't feel like it, choose to give praise to God. Choose to give thanks. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who will enable you to speak with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to sing and make melody in your heart to God. Let God's word renew your mind. Think big thoughts about God that are true and biblical. Let the truths of this psalm renew your mind. Say these truths that are in Psalm 100 just over and over again in your head. Think them and think them out loud and speak them back to God. Think about what is true about God and express your worship bodily and boldly. You cannot read the Psalms and think that you could sit like this in church and you're truly worshiping God. I'm sorry. It's just not in the Psalms. It's jumping up. It's shouting. It's dancing. It's lifting your hands. It's bowing on your knees. It gets expressed with our bodies. And it is expressed boldly, openly, without shame, without fear, but honestly saying, God, you are so awesome. I'm expressing it back to you. Faith your way to feeling. Don't say, when I feel like it, then I'll do it. No, faith your way so the Holy Spirit can transform your feeling. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. So, just like we did last week, at the end of Greg's message, when he called everybody up front to worship, we're gonna do that again. This is gonna be a praise pit. I want all the praisers and worshipers and people who wanna shout and people who wanna lift up their hands and give thanks. I'm gonna pray. When I finish praying, I wanna invite you to come on and fill this place up. We're gonna finish our worship service off expressing our praise and thanksgiving to God as an act of faith. And we're gonna ask him to transform our attitudes, because God is glorified and he inhabits the praises of his people. Father, we worship you. We want to choose to worship you. We want to give praise and thanksgiving and think big thoughts about you and sing great things about you and shout and lift up our hands and dance before the Lord. God, we want you to transform our attitude so that we might be brought up into the very presence of God. You would be exalted and we'd have the joy of the Lord. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.